Fred Film Radio, Galway Film Flaw, Ireland.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt McCucci from the 29th Galway Film Flaw, and I'm very pleased to be joined by director Katrina Costello, who is presenting her wonderful film, The Silver Branch, here at the festival, and actually it screened last night. I saw it, it was wonderful, it's a marvellous film. So I thank you very much for joining us.
Hi Matt, how are you doing?
Because there's a lot to talk about in this film, but first of all, it'd be great if you could tell our listeners a little bit about the film and maybe just an introduction. Tell us as much as you'd like about it.
Well, The Silver Branch is really an exploration of our connection with nature and culture, and it really explores what we've lost in the last 40 years when we've stepped away from farming and small-scale farming in Ireland.
But it takes some place in particular, in one particular place in Ireland, and also talks about one particular person as well.
Yeah. So the film takes place in the Burren, and it follows the life of Patrick McCormack, who has been farming in the winterages in the Burren, and his relationship with John Joe Conway, a bachelor farmer. So the two of them are a perfect pair, and they farm together and laugh a lot and cry a lot. And
is this a place that you're familiar with as well? Did you grow up in that area? Where are you familiar with it?
Okay, well, I grew up in Kildare, and I actually grew up farming in a very, very small little village called Prosperous. And when I was growing up there, we used to walk cows up and down the village. But Prosperous is decimated now with, it's just become a suburb of Dublin, really. Okay, so when I could see what has happened to villages like Prosperous, I suppose I can see that the Burren is truly unique because it hasn't had that influx of people coming to it, and it really hasn't changed. Like, the landscape in the Burren hasn't changed in thousands of years, and you can still see, you know, so many ring forts and, you know, monuments to the famine villages, and just it really has echoes of the past that you don't get anywhere else in Ireland.
Yeah,
which
absolutely
is truly unique.
It is
marvelous.
Marvelous, and we're going to talk about how you shot it as well, because the film looks magnificent. Before I do, just in terms of the production itself, can you take me through how it all started and where the idea to actually make this film came from?
Well, I guess, you know, I came back after being away from Ireland for 20 years. I actually worked in most of the financial districts in the world. And,
wow.
Yeah, so I kind of sold my soul for 20 years in trading rooms, actually. And when I came back and I just sat in the mountains of the Burren, I thought, oh my God, I can't believe that this is still actually so precious, that there's parts of Ireland that still have not been touched. And that was really what made me want to make the film.
Okay. And what you told me is very interesting, but this desire for filmmaking, did you always kind of have this idea that you would eventually make a movie? Because, you know, you came from a financial background.
It is quite funny, all right, but I suppose when I worked in the finance, I worked for maybe 6 months, and then I would take off for 6 months, so I'd go about maybe even 18 months around the Amazon or up the Vietnamese mountains. But I used to do a lot of travel photography.
Oh, yeah.
And it was always drawn to old cultures, indigenous cultures that still farmed, actually, funny enough, you know, as I really sought out the old time farmers and photographed them, you know, whether they were harvesting seaweed or rice fields or, you know.
Well, these are fascinating places, and what I love about them is that there still are places like that all over the world, and still, you know, they're very vulnerable, and I guess preservation of these places is very important. So.
Yeah, exactly. And of the cultures,
yes. Absolutely, yes. Patrick McCormack kind of dominates the sort of narrative of the film, I would say, along with the landscapes itself. How did you meet him?
I actually funny met Patrick when I was looking for to film wild goats for another documentary that we were making.
Ah, right.
And Patrick and a group of friends had started a native wild goat kind of sanctuary, which was on his farm, because the native wild goat is slowly getting shifted along with other feral goats.
Okay, and he's also a poet, I was.
That's right, yeah.
So his poetry, he does recite his poetry.
Yeah, the poems in it are predominantly Patrick's, and his narrative is very poetic as well, as you know.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, it does so well with these wonderful shots in the landscape. And now I must ask you a little bit about how you actually shot the film. It doesn't seem to me like it would be too structured, the movie, the making of the movie. So how did you kind of shoot it, and how long did it take to shoot?
Well, we started We started shooting it so many years ago, maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And but I was kind of part-time mother of three young girls.
Uh-huh.
So
5 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, so the production lasted five years.
It did. Well, I mean, we got funding a year and a half ago or something.
Oh, right.
Okay,
right.
So it was. You have to go quite a long way before you actually get funding. But yeah. Thank God, the film board took it on board. Rory Gilmartin, he loved it. He got hooked, actually, he said, when he saw the promo, so we were delighted. So thank you to Rory and the film board and BAI and Section 481. We got it funded. Yeah.
And so, okay, so you started shooting this film. Did you always know that you were going to end up making a feature film, or was that idea that kind of eventually evolved?
That was what I wanted to make.
Oh, yes.
It was always what I wanted to make. Yeah, I mean, you could have gone and made a more factual documentary about the burn, but I think really to encompass everything, because the landscape is so magical, you know, it's got such echoes of our past and our ancestors, to actually encompass everything. And then Patrick, of course, is the perfect protagonist because he's got such a connection to the ancestors, you know, and as he says, he goes to the old forts and asks their help when he needs it, you know.
Sure. And am I wrong in imagining that maybe you would have had your camera but still walked around these wonderful, magical, beautiful landscapes and just kind of spotted something and gone like, I have to capture this, absolutely? Is that kind of the way?
Well, yeah, I would go out with intentions of capturing something and probably come home with something else.
Yeah.
And it was the same with the interviews with Patrick. We would go with the intention of talking about something and end up coming home with something else. More and more beautiful narrative and more beautiful shots. But it was hours and hours and hours of photography.
How many hours?
I would hate to guess. But it was totally out of love and passion, really, you know, because I can think of nothing I like doing more than just sitting in the landscape. But the best shots were definitely after being there for a few hours, you know, when you stopped trying to fight for the pictures that you wanted and actually just let the things come to you, the beauty, the magic come to you, yeah.
So, fine, let's just wrap up this kind of overview of the production by maybe if you could tell us a little bit about the post-production as well, because obviously when you have so much footage shot and such wonderful shots, it may even, like, the problem may even be like, I have to leave this shot out, but it's so beautiful, how can I leave it out? Still, just like, can you just give us a little overview of what that side of the process was like?
Well, the editing, it was fabulous in some ways, and it was a nightmare.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and it was interesting, actually, because some of the shots that we left out, you know, we had a beautiful shot of a butterfly coming out of a cocoon, which I left out and replaced it with, you know, some of the kids. And I could see by the audience reaction last night that was a good thing to do, you know, I think. So hopefully we made the right edit decisions, but it was difficult. It was a year-long edit, and I had Andy Netley, who's a Finnish editor. He helped me in the last month just to do the fine cut and the polish editing. And Emma Reynolds, the beautiful Emma Reynolds, was a consulting editor, and she's been with me along the road from the beginning of our development and our promos and everything.
She's a great editor and a wonderful filmmaker in her own right.
Thank you, Weaver.
Yes, and so, the Silver Branch, I saw it last night, I watched it last night. The cinema view was packed, full house. Everyone loved it. I mean, I could hear the reaction that everyone loved it, and everyone just looked at every single shot, amazed. It was just wonderful to see. But the question is, where is it going to go from now? Do you have any ideas of where it might go?
Yeah, we've had some very positive feedback, and we're just going to go around the film circuit for a while.
Okay. It was a great pleasure talking with you, and it was a fantastic pleasure. I know you're not very used to doing radio interviews yet, so it was great to talk to you, and I think it went down terrific.
Thank you, Matt.
Also, as well, I'd like to remind our listeners that your film is called The Silver Branch, and keep an eye out for it, because I thought it was wonderful, and I definitely recommend it. One of my favorite films at the FLA this year. So thank you very much once again, and this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.